Okay. Actually, Terry stole most of my stuff, so obviously the Holy Spirit wants to hear it twice. But one of the things I want to talk about real quick is tomorrow is often, and I'm speaking as a veteran, okay? Veteran did a couple tours of Vietnam. And so we tend to get a little sensitive about things. But tomorrow's really, the purpose of it is not to have a day off and roast hot dogs. No offense to anybody. Tomorrow is to take time to remember those who have fallen. So as Terry put it this way, put it so that we can do what we're doing. You know, we had a slogan when I was in the military. It was, all gave some, but some gave all. And that's about what tomorrow is about all that gave all. And one of the things that's going on tomorrow, and I have to admit, I wish I was there, is right now, and you may not hear about this on the news, there's about 1.5 motorcyclists in Washington, D.C. Huh? 1.5 million. And has anybody ever heard of Rolling Thunder? Well, tomorrow's Rolling Thunder. They will start at the Pentagon, start rolling at 8 o'clock. And before the last motorcycle leaves the thing to honor the fallen, it will be after 12 noon. Okay? Well, you imagine rolling one million plus motorcycles out. And the thing that just impresses me the most, there's this retired sergeant, and I'm bad with uniforms, so I don't know if he's in the Marine Corps. Okay? When the first motorcycle gets to this one intersection, he goes to attention and a salute. And he will hold that until 1 million plus motorcycles roll by in honor of those who are fallen. So it's just kind of a blessing. So tomorrow, the main purpose of the celebration is to remember those who died, who gave their lives so we can be doing what we're doing. Because I guarantee if there weren't people willing to do that, I'm not sure what kind of country we'd be living in. And that's just my personal opinion. It's a paid political announcement. And I paid for it. So, Lord, I pray that you just be with us, that you just be with us. And, Lord, that, as always, I pray that whatever comes out of my mouth is of you, and that which is none of you would fall on the floor before us, but that which is of you would pierce our hearts. And the church said, amen. Like I said, it's been an interesting week. I'm on Twitter. That's the social media I'm on. By the way, if you want to look at Rolling Thunder, it'll be... You can find it on just about any social media tomorrow. There'll be videos of it. I've been watching videos for the last 2 days with all these bikes and so forth that are there. I'm sure the fact that I ride a Harley has nothing to do with it. But, yeah, but I wish I was there. And it's in my bucket list, and I will make it 1 year as soon as God heals my back. But it's been an interesting week. And I rejoice because we've had no loss of life. I don't know if anybody's heard or not, but there was people that lost their life in Oklahoma last night due to a tornado that hit a motel, I think in the Tulsa area, though I'm not 100% sure about that. Pardon? Oklahoma City area, okay. And there was also some damage, I think, in Tulsa or someplace downtown, but it was just minor damage and so forth. So, but... It's just amazing what goes on, and there's all these natural disasters, and as a pastor, I've gotten questions. Like, they think I know the answers to everything, right? I mean, only God knows the answers to everything. I mean, you folks would cry. By the way, I'm Gary.
Barb.
Nice to meet you. Good to meet you, Barb. She's with Cry. I assume you're with Cry, right? Okay. But she just got inducted. But, so natural disasters, you know, I mean, and the first thing, and a lot of this stuff you probably already know, but it's good basic stuff that when somebody says, well, if God was a loving God, now, I know nobody's here has ever heard that, but the truth is we live in a fallen world. I just want to read from Genesis 3, 17 and 19, the ESV. And to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. There was a cataclysmic event to where it was lined up for us to have an amazing thing, and Adam and Eve chose a different direction. And it's impacted us to this day. It doesn't mean that God has gone on vacation. He's not on sabbatical, kind of sitting around waiting, okay, well, yeah, it looks like the right time to send Jesus back, so we'll send Jesus back. No, he's involved. I think you folks would cry that if you didn't think God was involved with what you were doing, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing, right? I mean, I think that's fair. And with Samaritan's Purse and always get the convoy of Hope and the Baptists and all the stuff that's going on. God's not gone on vacation. He's in the midst. And it's interesting about times of suffering and negative times, people start thinking about things that they don't think about when they're riding the Ferris wheels at a theme park and all is going well. Unless it stops when you're on the very top, then you may start thinking about some things. But people start coming face to face with the reality of the uncertainty of their life. We were up at Chris's parents yesterday, and I was just kind of joking around with the quadruplets and I was talking to their father and we were talking and so forth, and I was just looking at the quadruplets. I says, they don't understand. They're eternal. Nothing's going to bother them. They're superheroes. You know, but think about a teenager. They're not thinking about the end of the world. They're not thinking about disaster because they've got good health and all this stuff. But the truth is, when you come to a disaster, people start to think about it. The second point is, yes, Satan does have power in this earth. But we must keep some things in perspective, because Satan was dealt a serious blow with the incarnation when Christ came, took on that of a human being, with the crucifixion, with the resurrection and the ascension. And his power was greatly diminished. Now, he still has lies and deceptions and things like that that he uses that we all too willing listen to. But it didn't annihilate him when those things happened, but that's his future. He will be annihilated, tossed into the lake of fire. But the truth is, bad things happen. I know most of you, and I know you've had bad things happen in your life. And it's sad. You know? Chaos still exists and will continue to exist until Jesus returns. That's just the reality of it. But that's part of the reason he's got the church and ministries, like the ones that have come into this town to minister, because chaos still exists. But the truth is, that doesn't mean we're hopeless. We have hope. Romans 18-25, and I'm reading on a New Living Translation. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. In another place it says, these are light momentary afflictions. And I know we've all been through situations where you go, that's a light momentary affliction? But compared to the glory that's coming. And going on in verse 19, for all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. There's so many, I'm trying to keep the rabbits from escaping. Against it, because we really want to pray. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with eager hope. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have a Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And we have that hope in the midst of chaos. And we have been given the anointing and the ability and the call to share that hope with others. The third thing that we also need to understand, that God doesn't cause natural reaction. Oh, shut up. I was talking to my watch, not anybody here in the congregation, for anybody listening. No, it wasn't God I was telling to shut up either. But we need to understand that it's not God's judgment that brings natural disasters. Yes, if you go in the Old Testament and probably a place or two in the New Testament, there were times that he brought judgment, but it was for a specific purpose. It was to accomplish something that he wanted to accomplish. It wasn't a random natural disaster. See, the truth of the matter is, natural disasters kill and hurt people, destroys property, and it does so indiscriminately. See, it's not of God. Natural disasters are not of God. They're just random because we live in this world that is fallen, that is groaning, but yet the church can offer hope. And this is just a personal pet peeve, having worked for many years in the environmental field. They're not because Mother Nature had a bad day. She was going through that change in life or something. I actually heard somebody say that. Her hormones are messed up and she's going through a change of life. I'm going, right. But it brings us back to the fact that we live in this fallen world, that there's evil. But again, God is not on vacation. He's not taking a sabbatical. He's not, you know my story, he's not in the big Jamaica in the sky where I thought he was for the first 10 years I was saved. We have God with us, and we also have his mercy. Psalm 57, 1 and 2. Again, reading that in New Living Translation. Have mercy on me, O God, have mercy. I look to you for protection. I will hide beneath the shadow of your wings until the danger passes by. I cry out to God Most High, to God who will fulfill his purpose for me. But not only do we have his mercy, he's our refuge and strength. I love this psalm, Psalm 46 in the New Living Translation. God is our refuge and strength. Amen. Can I hear an amen for that?
Amen.
Always, not some of the time or when I'm feeling good about it or I don't have something better to do, but always, he is ready to help in times of trouble. And guess what? Guess who he often uses? Point a finger at yourself and say, me. Because that's who he uses, us. So we will not fear when earthquakes come and mountains crumble into the sea. Let the oceans roar and foam. Let the mountains tremble as the waters surge. A river brings joy to the city of our God, the sacred home of the Most High. God dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. Somebody take this watch. From the very break of day, God will protect it. I keep saying the magic word, I guess, for Siri, and she decides to say something. Good dwells in that city. It cannot be destroyed. From the very break of day, God will protect it. The nations are in chaos. Do you get that? You don't have to look very far around the world to see that. And their kingdoms crumble. God's voice thunders. And why do they crumble? I'm trying desperately not to go down rabbit trails. Because God is no longer the focus of that country. God's voice thunders and the earth melts. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. Come, see the glorious works of the Lord. See how he brings destruction upon the world. He causes wars to end throughout the earth. He breaks the bow and snaps the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be honored by every nation. I will be honored throughout the world. The Lord of heaven's armies is here among us. The God of Israel is our fortress. And we have the opportunity, and we will have the opportunity, and some of you already have done it, to share that hope that the Lord is with us. Martin Luther had this amazing statement. When you look around and wonder whether God cares, has anybody ever done that? Looked around, wondered if God cares. He has a very simple solution. You must always hurry to the cross, and you will see him there. And as we do that, it equips us to be able to position ourselves to ask, each one of us, ask ourselves, what can we do? What is God called us to do? What has God anointed us to do, each one individually in this church collectively, to do to alleviate the suffering from a natural disaster? One of them is not to lecture, but instead to grieve as they grieve. Mark Kiefer's house on Ashley was totally destroyed. And I sent him a text last night, and I said, Mark, because I just found out about it yesterday. I'm a little slow on some of this. I said, Mark, I just want you to know we're grieving with you as you grieve. And then we're sorry. He's the pastor at Evangelical Free Church. Or no, it's called Living Hope Now. And he just sent back a simple thank you. We are doing our best to figure out what's going on, and Christian and Michelle are helping, and we'll be more in tune with as the whole CRY team gets here and comes up with the game plan. But I've been in tune with Andre over at the House of Refuge. The church that's about 10 miles south of town that was totally leveled. If you saw it, Bishop Webb was on TV, and so was Andre. His last name escapes me at the moment, but he and I talked throughout the day yesterday through social media, through Messenger. And I told him, we're here. Whatever you need. If we can help supply it, we will do that, okay? And he's been very appreciative, and we're going to meet this afternoon, because this afternoon is at 3 o'clock. There's a prayer meeting at First Christian Church. So I'm assuming we can get there. And then, of course, you know, Crisis Response International is here and coming in. Was there three besides you two here now? So. Okay. Our church is going to do our best we can to help them, to feed them and to shelter them. And one way we're going to do that is just pay for some food. But the other way is, I just want to reaffirm what Terry said and coordinate with you, Michelle. Is that okay? But if you want to make your favorite dish or two, make a nice big chocolate cake. And if you need a cupbearer for that chocolate cake, just let me know. I just want to make sure nobody's poisoning anybody, okay? But, you know, that's one way. You know, I'm just willing to sacrifice for the kingdom of God, you know. But, you know, there's other things out there, too, that you know, and as I understand it, well, Michelle's going to share a little bit here in a few moments when we pray, because we're going to do some praying here. But there's you know, you can sign up to do some things. I think Tammy and Jerry did that yesterday and went out. Do you want to share about that real quick? And you're able to help some people move and do some other things. Just take a couple minutes. Just keep it rolling. I'll take it away, too.
we just went out yesterday afternoon and helped with a group that was helping. Oh, I don't like this. And so they asked us to go to the house, the apartments behind YMCA that were pretty well demolished, and help people pack up their belongings. They've got till Tuesday or Wednesday to get out. And so we were able to help several families pack up belongings. And then Jerry pulled his truck around, and we helped a family move a lot of their stuff to storage. And it was just, I'd never seen anything like that. It was very devastating, but the family that we were able to help was very appreciative, gave Jerry a big hug at the end. It was just, to see people's entire life and all their belongings out there was really hard to do, and I don't know how I would take to a bunch of strangers coming into my house and packing stuff up. That would have been really difficult for me to let that happen, but they were... even through everything they'd been through, they were still strong. It was really kind of amazing. The girl we talked to and her friend said kind of what Gary said earlier, that it was just a miracle that no one was hurt. And in looking at her, you know, if we judged by appearances, you would look at her and assume she didn't believe anything about God. And I don't know what her belief system is. We didn't really talk, but she definitely gave God the credit for there being no loss of life.
Is it from God?
And not only that, but we, was it Friday when we went to Colton's?
Oh, yeah.
Friday, we went to Colton's to eat. We were just tired, didn't want to cook.
And our house was...
Our health was fine. And everybody else was, you know, the tornado here, hit over here. But we thought, well...
No, we just had it painted, and it smelled bad inside, like paint.
That wasn't my point at all. But my point was, we went and we said, we're going to go have a steak on the way home. And our waitress, I, you know, talked to her and asked her about her house and if everything's all right. And she lives in a trailer on Heritage Highway, which is not even there anymore. And she hadn't even had time to go back to her house to see what she could find or anything. But she is there waiting on us, serving us food at Colton's while her life is like been blown away, and she had a smile on her face the whole time, and she just said, God's going to take care of me. And again, if you were to look at that lady from the outside, it's hard, you know, to not judge people sometimes by their appearance. It's hard. I struggle with it sometimes, but I try not to. And she said, I give God, you know, the glory that I wasn't there, and God will take care of me. And he will. He'll take care of them. But these people that we helped yesterday, they have nothing. Like, they were struggling to get trucks just to help them to get their stuff to storage. And they were, I mean, the stuff that you're saving is half torn up. It might be, you know, look like trash to you, but it's like all they have left. And there's so many things that you could do to help them. It's like, I mean, just if you can pull tape and tape up the bottom of a box, you can go help.
That's right.
So it doesn't take big, strong guys to move heavy furniture. If you can cut tape and tape up bottom of boxes, then you're of value to someone that needs help. So.
You're a great commercial for Pride. That's what we do, anything.
Yeah. I'll turn it back over to you, Gary.
Oh, thank you. You're such a nice guy, Jerry. But... So you can do that. You know, I mean, you know, there's other people. There's Samaritan's Purse at First Assembly. I got a call from Christian Fellowship North this morning asking how they could help us. And they already knew that hadn't had damage. As far as I know, nobody in this church had any significant damage.
Melissa's sister.
Okay.
And my storage is completely gone.
Your storage is? Okay. Were you stored in that one spot, that one?
I was stored up the hill from the furniture place.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we got, you know, we got that I wasn't aware of, but we want to be Jesus' hands and feet. And we want to do what we're capable of doing. But in everything, it has to be out of love, 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 with prayer, prayer, prayer. Okay? And so what we're going to do now is we're going to pray. I think we just need to break up into some groups of 4 or 5 people. Okay? Can we do that? Just, and I've got some specific things that I believe that the Lord asks us to pray for. And I'll close each one off with a prayer, but okay, groups. That means get up and move. I'm sorry? Oh, I'm sorry.